Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right, sweet, sweet.
Do you know how my podcast goes at all?
I'm not sure exactly like the structure of it. I'm willing to just how you want to take it.
I dive deep. You remember how we were diving deep on the beach, right?
Yeah. It's very hard to forget.
Welcome to the Lift Oneself podcast, Romario. I am so thankful you're here with me.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Looking forward for this conversation.
Let's take a breath together. Close your eyes and begin breathing in and out through your nose. And just watch your breath go in and out. And just drop into your body and relax. And if need be, take a deep breath in and slowly exhale. I'm going to ask you to create an intention within yourself of what you want to bring forth in the podcast. I'm going to ask you to have it in the center of your stomach. And then I'm going to ask you to release it so it rises up into your head. And when you're ready, gently open your eyes. How's your heart doing?
Doing all right. Doing okay.
Tell the listeners a little bit of who Romario is.
For sure. So my name is Romario Brown. I'm currently 22 years old. I was born in Jamaica, but moved to Canada at the age of five. Between the ages of five to about 10, I traveled back and forth between Jamaica and Canada, but eventually stayed in Canada in middle school and then did my high school here. After I finished my time in high school, I took a year off, went back to Jamaica for a whole year, where I was able to, get grounded, be with family, and then came into university where I'm studying economics and finance, did that, and ended up on Bay Street, worked a job in corporate finance for about a year, and it was been interesting. Definitely changed me a bit, but nonetheless, I'm here today. And then, I guess that's kind of me academically, but, outside of my spare time, I enjoy doing a lot of things, going on runs, meeting new people, hanging out with friends. I guess that's just a high level background of myself.
We met on the sands of Negril this summer in June. I was watching you with your cousins and I asked you an interesting question that I'm sure you were like, who is this woman and what the heck? Yet I'm a person that, wants to know the human being and dives deep with a person. And we engaged in a very profound and deep, conversation. And you were able to reveal a lot of vulnerable parts of yourself. And I found that very interesting and fascinating, that at such a young age, you have such great self-awareness about yourself. And, the story that you've navigated through, you've alchemized a lot of things. Like there's some shitty parts in your story that you've turned into gold and you've chosen to make something out of it.
100%. A lot of the, not so highlighted stuff.
Recently, your mother transitioned and you were in Jamaica. Can you walk us through what you reflected on and what you came to realize?
Yeah, for sure. So my mom passed away, in July, actually. I was working, as I said, on Bay Street at the time. It happened, and I worked as an investment banker. And for those who don't know, the job requires you to work like crazy hours. You work probably from 9 a.m. to 2 a.m. the next day. So once that happened, of course, I took time off of work. I took my 5 days grievance, and then I tried to go back to keep myself busy, and I realized that I couldn't. I realized that, this is something I gotta feel. This is something I just gotta go through, and I'm not gonna delay it. And being in a job that, requires that much demand, where I'm naturally already overthinking, trying to be top of the game, thought it'd be best to kind of just be by myself. So I spent about 3 weeks just in Canada, because I was, while everything was being organized, I just stayed here instead of going back down. As also at the time, organizing, you know, me leaving Toronto to spend time in family with family. So I had to like deal with a lot of stuff, but there's a lot of stuff that had to be organized. So during the 30 weeks, I was just by myself in Toronto. And to answer your question, you know, what I realized was like, I know we were talking about this before this podcast started, but you know, not everybody in my life was where I thought that they were, in the sense that, like, you know, I was at my lowest and not everybody showed up for me at my lowest, right? And you, when you're not going full speed and you're just not, you know, you're at home just thinking and you realize everyone's life is going on, you kind of realize who's, you know, including you in your life. And to me, that was kind of eye-opening. And I was sad for about like a, like, obviously I'm still sad, but like, I was really like down, sad, like really, really like not my best for like about a week. And I just woke up, I was like, I just can't do this, right? Like, I could see why people fall into addictions. I could see why people, you know, take a turn, but I was like, you know, that's really just not me. And I ended up just saying, okay, well, like, if anything, I'm going to take it all out on my YouTube channel. So I really started putting a lot of focus on my YouTube. And because I wasn't working those crazy hours anymore, I was able to actually spend time doing things that I loved. And that resulted to me, you know, growing my platform from, I believe I had about 100 subscribers to just over 1,000 within the 3 weeks that I was just there. And I was able to just navigate, learn a lot. But I was also able to like grieve in a different way, I think. Most people thought that I would, you know, like be super sad. And it's like, I chose to kind of just reflect in just a good moment. And it's like, I just realized that, you know, this day was going to come no matter what, right? Medic came a bit earlier, but it's just like, there's nothing more I can physically do in this earth as of right now than obviously not forget my mom, keep her in everything I do, but also just to, like, do everything in her name, right? So I think that's kind of what I took out of this. And when I went to Jamaica, I mean, I went there a week before, exactly 1 week before the funeral. So the week leading up, I was just doing a lot of stuff, right? And actually on that note, you know, once I originally had left work June 3, so when I was in Canada, I was doing a lot of things I'd never actually done. I was actually enjoying life. And I think that's one thing it kind of taught me, right? Like the purpose of life. When I wasn't working and doing all that stuff, I was at Toronto Island for the first time. I'm like, well, like, how am I doing this now? Why wasn't I doing this stuff before, right? And it kind of just made me shift my priorities. And I told my family that, hey, listen, I never want to work a corporate job ever again. I want to set myself up in every single way where I don't have to be working a corporate job. I don't mind putting in those crazy hours, but if I'm going to do that, I'm going to do it for myself. And I'm going to do it for like my own organization, and in a way that I can spend time with people in my family, like my mom, and be with my dad, and, you know, be around people that actually value me, right? And all that to say, when I was in Jamaica, with that mindset I had, I ended up running into an old friend of mine who actually, you know, DJs. And then I had my camera, as you know, I have my equipment and everything. I always have it because I have vlogs on YouTube. Like, yo, I can have a really high quality camera. I can shoot you a music video. And then that led to me shooting a music video for him and actually exploring a more creative side of my brain. And then that led to me saying, okay, listen, I want to start a business, and I wanted to like not do, you know, corporate again. I'm like, hey, listen, I'm actually going to fund and create a record label. So now it's like, I have like a record label with a couple artists signed. We have a producer, we have an engineer, right? And I have my friends here who are collaborating with them. So I guess to answer your question, all in all, it's just like, yeah, like that, my mom passing away kind of led to me realizing a lot in terms of, you know, my work life, professional life, as well as my personal life, people who are around me, who I should be valuing, and also my priorities, right? My priorities definitely shifted from just being a, you know, in a suit, going up, you know, walking down Bay Street to like, okay, well, I can still be in a suit. I can still do all that stuff in a setting where I'm, you know, doing it for my own legacy. And, you know, I'm not working for somebody else. I'm not just being essentially a yes man. There's nothing wrong with that, if that's what you want to do. If you were born to do that, by all means. But I've always had entrepreneurial like endeavors. So it's like that was really wasn't me. And I know that day was going to come to an end anyways. So I think this definitely kind of expedited that. And that led to me, you know, taking my YouTube more serious, taking, you know, this record label more serious, and just really just being a bit more comfortable in life. Even though I'd say right now, I'm probably still at one of my lowest I've ever been, because a year ago, I would never expect me to be in this position. There's a lot of like navigating and learning to do, but I think I'm a bit more adapted to the situation. And I think that moving forward, I can be able to, you know, hopefully set some things up and be a bit more comfortable and exactly where I want to be.
Yeah, I have no doubt. The drive that's in you is amazing to be around. Just being in your presence and in your energy field, anybody that comes around you knows that there is a real drive in you. I felt it anyways. I'm a little more intrigued for some listeners that maybe, or not maybe, that have gone through the grief process. As you mentioned, there was a dark point and it was very dark. Yet all of a sudden you just woke up. Do you know what was the thought or the sensation or what happened that all of a sudden just had you say, you know what, I'm going to use this to my benefit, not have it consume me?
Yeah. And I guess before I say this, I know everyone reads differently, so I'm not bashing anybody, you know, but personally, I was just, okay, like I can only cry so much. I can only mourn so much. I can't use this as an excuse to become something. Right. And it's like, I think personally, based on what I went through, if, you know, you pick up certain habits, like drinking habits while you're mourning, after a while, it's like, you're really doing that for, that's an excuse for you to do that. Right. And I realized, like, I'm not going to use this as an excuse to be lazy. I'm not using an excuse to kind of just fall back. Right. Rather, I'd rather use it as like a driver. I'd rather use it as something that kind of like builds me up. And when I just sit down, I can't just sit here and do this every single day. I can't sit here and just be super depressed and like, you know, when people calling you like, oh, are you okay? It's like, I can't let this be the reason why I don't, you know, attain what I need to attain. I hope I don't sound selfish, but it's just like, when you think of it, it's just like that person, my mom would never, ever want me to, like, she, like, when I went back to Jamaica, and we went to like the setup. And if you guys don't know, a setup basically is the night before the person gets buried. You, you know, you share memories, you have food and liquor. So I went there and there's probably about 300-400 people there and everyone knew me. Like people like, oh, you're way more shorter in person from Instagram. And like, oh my goodness, I haven't seen you so long. And it's like, your mom used to always talk about you. And like, oh crap. Like everyone knows, like, you know, she let it be known that, yeah, I'm her son. Right. So like, for that, it's like, why would I not keep that legacy going? Why did I not keep that feel going? I know what she wanted. I talked to her. She, you know, she let me know, like, she's super proud of me. So it's like, it's not the time now to really step back. So I guess that's where the switch kind of just came. It's like, wait, hold up. Like, I know I'm supposed to feel this way, but like, I'm not going to just, like, there's no right or wrong way to grieve. And some people might just pick up that bottle of alcohol and then grieve. But like, that just didn't feel natural and right to me. Like, I tried drinking for one day and I was like, well, this is not it. This is not, I'm not going to find this as a way. And just naturally, my whole life, I've always just put work towards how I, you know, I feel. And I feel like work solves most of my problems, but that's another issue.
It's a coping mechanism.
Yeah, exactly.
You cope and you found work to cope and use that energy in a way that builds you up. Yet, are you aware that you possibly use work as an addiction to kind of cope and not feel certain, or actually not feel certain things? Because you explained exactly how the corporate was, everything was flying by, yet you weren't dropping into your moments in a vertical way of depth of really connecting with those that you value or people. And I think for myself, what I know to be true is that grief allows you to face your mortality if you're willing to engage with it. And it's very challenging to do that because it means you have to face fear. Yeah. And we're not taught to face fear. And we're not taught to really engage with our mortality and really start to recognize, wait, like, as much as time is an illusion, we just have control of writing the pen. Yet we don't know how many pages we have to write on. You know, I don't know if I just gave you some words to it, or did you understand that you were facing your mortality and all of a sudden pivoted?
100%, yeah. And as I said earlier, like, I think it was the best that, like, I wasn't working. And that's where I said, okay, well, like, I can't run away from this. Right? I can't just work my way out of this, right? I mean, I still technically found a way through my YouTube, but before that happened, I was like just in my room, just like not doing anything. But like, it just doesn't, that didn't feel natural for something, like, you know, I like to be going, and it's like, if there's any reason why I should keep working, it probably should be for this. That's kind of how I saw it, but I did give myself time to just like not do anything and just feel. But I just realized that, like, that wasn't my way of feeling. I can't just sit down and just say, yeah, I'm going to just be sad. Like, I'm going to do this so I can feel sad, right? But now it's like, if it happened many times where just, you know, I wake up one day, it's like, damn, this is not going so good. And I will feel that, and I'll embrace it. I'll spend a couple of hours in my room, whatever. Or I'll just, you know, go to bed, listen to some songs. But then that's it, right? I don't allow myself to feel, because you can control your day. You can control how you feel. Naturally, you're going to feel some way sometimes, and I embrace it. But I try not to make that narrate or like dictate or get into that mode for, you know, a week or two and fall down that, you know, in the rabbit hole.
Thank you for being vulnerable and being honest about the process. In a world where men are told not to be emotional or sensitive or cry or give yourself space to just be, we're better for it because you're allowing the change from within. And that's where change is. It's not outside of ourselves. It's within. And I thank you for sharing that with the listeners too, so that other men can possibly give themselves that gift to just feel. Like, it sucks. It sucks, like, to go into that portal if you haven't allowed yourself. And there's an overwhelming feeling, and the brain just wants you to be habituated to go, 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 so you numb some of those sensations. Yet when those sensations come up, there's valuable information that you possibly weren't listening to before. Because as you've mentioned now, what I'm hearing you say from the grief is that it brought you a gift to take control of what you actually want to do in life. I know you said that you hope that you didn't, that you don't sound selfish. And I don't think you sound selfish at all. I think you're actually using the gift of what grief can be. And you're being whole with it, with a W, that you're allowing all the parts to be there, yet you're choosing what you want to do with that energy. You're choosing how you want to pivot and navigate in the world and how you want to show up. And use the tools that you've been gathering throughout the years, because this mindset didn't just happen right now. So do you want to explain where this mindset came from, or how you developed it and where the tools came from?
Yeah, for sure. So as I mentioned in my introduction, you know, I grew up in Jamaica. I spent a good majority of my childhood there. So when I was there, you kind of realize that, one, it's very fast paced, and things there, as you know, there's a lack of specific resources. So with that being said, whatever you do have, you are able to kind of leverage it. And usually you see a lot of people really make the most of what they have, and they try their best to become successful. Whether it's you know, going down the street and selling something because you have a tree and you're selling, you know, what's on the tree, they just try their best to make it. So when I pivoted to Canada and I was here, I just always had that mindset where it's okay, like, the hustler's mindset, right? I grew up, you know, in a household, there's a good amount of us, and we were able to kind of make something of ourselves because the mentality of, you know, working hard and just making the most of what you have and then making more out of that, right? So coming here, it's okay, well, you know, being from Jamaica is always kind of, it's natural. You at first you're the odd kid out, but I tend to talk a lot, and I was a bit of a comedian growing up, so I was able to make friends. And then, you know, through making those friends, I kind of realized, okay, well, now I have all different type of friends, because, like, I have, you know, I have that Jamaican roughness to me, but I also have, you know, I had decent grades, so I was able to be around other people. So then, you know, some people were started calling me this, like, oh, you're whitewashed and you're weird. And it's like, but I was able to still adapt to anybody in the room, right? Come fast forward to my 12th year of high school. And everyone's trying to go to university now, right? So I'm like, okay, well, I need to go in. Like, I had a little bit of a, you know, phase in high school where I'm okay, well, I'm gonna hang out with these people, but no, I'm actually smart, so I'm hanging out with the guys who get good grades. So we're telling us, like, okay, like, now what's gonna happen, right? Like, I don't want to be around these guys, because, like, I kind of see how they're kind of playing out, weeding out. Like, I didn't come this far, I didn't come from Jamaica, I didn't get all the support, I didn't get all, you know, the extra help just for me to not become something. Then again, it's like, okay, well, these smart guys that I know, they're, like, extremely, you know, they look better than I do, right? In terms of, like, their looks, their appearance, like, they look wealthy, they look great, you know, like, they're smart. And even though I knew that they're, like, they're degenerates at night, but when it comes to their academics, I realized that they're able to kind of, like, bridge and merge, you know, being professional, but also enjoying the personal life just without it on social media, just, you know, without it being public. right? That's how I ended up taking my year off, because like I ended up getting into a university program at York for psychology. But that wasn't what I was passionate about, because you know, I said I grew up around entrepreneurship. I grew up around people who knew how to make nothing out of something out of nothing, sorry. So when I took my year off, I thought it'd just be great for me to want to go back to Jamaica, get that mindset going again, right? Seeing it, being around it, seeing people hustle, seeing people make the most out of nothing, right? So I did that. Of course, you know, working my grades, you know, upgrading my grades, but then just coming back to Canada, I was like, okay, well, it's a work mode here. This is literally a, I would say, platform for you to become anything in the world that you want, right? And every time I go to Jamaica and come back, that mindset's always just top of my head, right? Just like it's recharged, and come back and just attack everything I want, because I feel as if Canada is just really a working country. You come here to work, right? You work your 9 to 5, whatever, you know, and then you keep your goals. That's how I see it, at least.
Can you share with the listeners what your self-care looks like?
Oh, sure. Maybe a bit different than others, and it's not just work. I know you guys are probably thinking it's just me working. No, but as of lately, I've been actually really busy, just like extremely busy. I was sick recently, so my self-care hasn't been the greatest. But normally, really, just play music. I listen to a lot of music. I watch funny videos on YouTube. I also like getting ideas from YouTube. So I usually watch it, and I eat really bad. not horrible, but I just order food at Uber Eats and just kind of just relax. I like literally just pull my chair back and just sit here and just, you know, eat some junk food, watch a show or two. When I'm not doing that, I tend to find it extremely, extremely peaceful. When I either call my little cousin, I go to him, and I'll just talk, just shoot the shit, just like talk about random stuff, make funny jokes, reminisce on like crazy memories, because he's in high school right now, so we just talk about just random stuff. So for me, my self-care seems to be always tend to be by myself, just, you know, watching something I enjoy, watching content, and enjoying junk food. If it's not that, it tends to be me listening to music, or me really just talking. And anytime I can just talk to people and just like just be myself and just kind of forget about everything else, I tend to find myself the happiest. That's kind of my self-care. Of course, you know, I do like my skincare routine and all that stuff.
What about for your mind?
My mind, I really just, that's where the music comes in. I kind of just, you know, sit back and relax. But I read a lot of articles online, and I kind of dive into theories. But I don't know specifically if there's like a self-care routine or anything I do for my mind. I just, you know, if I feel stressed, I kind of ease back. If I feel like, okay, I need to just relax, I get some food and I watch YouTube. I feel like, okay, well, like I'm just been too isolated. Okay, well, I'm going to go talk to my cousin. I'm going to call somebody. I'm going to go, you know, spend time with that person, right? Yeah. And I usually fish a lot during the summer. And okay, fishing, that helps me kind of just relax. And that helps me mentally, physically, awareness. I can really, you know, be self-centered. So, okay, well, what's really going on here? And also you get to catch fish.
Do you meditate?
Fishing for me is a form of meditation. I don't think that I don't physically like stand or like sit down, or like I don't take the traditional route of meditating, but fishing, I promise you, if you ever go fishing, you have nothing but your thoughts, right? Mm-hmm. So you are meditating in some way, shape, or form. That's how I think of it. And I kind of have a different like approach to meditating. Like before I go to my bed, I usually spend like 10, 15 minutes just eyes closed, just thinking. But I don't play the music that like most people play. I don't like putting myself in a zone, right? It's like what I was saying earlier. Like, I'm not going to put myself in a state to just be sad because I'm supposed to be sad. I'm not going to just put myself in a room and just play music just to meditate. Where it's like, if I'm lying down and it naturally comes, like, you know, I'm just reflecting like, this, that, and kind of just let myself relax and just like physically just breathe, right? And just have my thoughts come in. That's what I do. So I guess that's my form of meditation. But yeah, I don't take a very traditional approach to it.
Being aware that when my nervous system's dysregulated, it's going to bring a lot of harsh languages and it's going to bring certain emotions. But you've learned to disrupt that. You've learned to be able to jump out of that, not get stuck in the quicksand. You go in the quicksand, you understand it. You're like, okay, I got to brew. I got to let this out. Yet, okay, I'm not staying here though. And you've learned to disrupt that, which is a very powerful skill. Very powerful.
Never thought of it that way.
Can you share with the listeners who your mother is, her personality?
Yeah, sure. Oh, for sure. Pretty similar to me, actually, when it comes to the hustling. She's very loving, very, very loving. She would reassure me that all the time, called me like 10 times a day. just like big hearted. And she definitely had a very similar hustling mindset. Oftentimes, you know, she'd be like, hey, can you send me like five rand, which is like $50 Canadian. I'm like, why do you want just such little money? And you'd realize that she'd take that $5,000, she would go gamble, she would do different endeavors, she'd gamble it, right? Just because, okay, first of all, like she lives in Kingston, like Jamaica, the heart of Kingston in the Garrison. So when I say gamble, it's just like the norm. It's not like she's a gambler. No, it's just like, it's a hustle, right? Gambling is a form of hustling there. And when you learn how to play, you can really monetize from the hustle. And that's what she did, right? So she flipped $5,000 to like $25,000. And then she said, okay, now son, I have $25,000. Can you send me another, you know, like now she's asking for big money. Can you send me now $250,000, which is $25,000 Jamaican. So now she has $50,000. She's basically saying, can you just go half and half with me? Right. So I can open up a shop. And that's exactly what she did. Right. And I'm like, whoa, wait, how did this happen? And then she breaks it down to me. She's like, yeah, that's what I did. And these moves, I'm like, whoa, like that is crazy. Like, and as I said, that's how I grew up with this mindset. That's how I was able to like see how that all fold up. But aside from that, though, yeah, she definitely had a big heart. She's one of those people that you would never catch up in an argument with. I've only gotten in an argument with my mom once in my whole life. And that, especially the funeral, I realized that it was a commonality. She wasn't the person that you'd go and argue with, rather the person you go and sit and talk and hold a reason with and just kind of try to talk it out and hold a meditation about it, right? In Jamaica, we say that you hold the meds, right? Mm-hmm. You kind of just, you know, have some deep conversation. And I thought it was just me because I was her son, but just hearing and seeing people in my role and seeing the amount of people that came and really just genuinely came because we had it like outside of the, you know, the rougher area. So if he came, it's because you wanted to come. It wasn't just a walk down the street, right? And that to me, it's like, damn, man, like it was very reassuring. Yeah, I guess high level, that was my mom, you know, very loving, caring, definitely not like argumentative, more on the relaxed side. Definitely was a hustler. She really had a big heart.
Thank you for sharing her with us. What I know to be true is that we're feeling bodies that think. So when you walk into a room, you get a vibe, you get an energy, you can feel when somebody is feeling a certain way or something's off. And we just haven't been taught to really tap into that. And what I hear is that your mom used a lot of intuitive ways of hustling. Thank you for clarifying that for the listeners, because a lot of them will be like, oh, gambling isn't. It's like, okay, let's break it down to what that looks like. There in the Caribbean, it's in a way of networking, that it's a gamble and it's a risk that, you know, you're partnering with some people and make trying to double your money and stuff like that. It's almost the same comparison as the stock exchange of, you know, making risks and calculated risks and stuff like that to make your money. I'm going to bring you into a reflective question. I'm going to ask you to bring your awareness right now and to go back to your 18-year-old self. And I'm going to ask you to tell your 18-year-old self three words to bring you through the journey of right now.
First one would definitely be grit. Second would be perseverance. And then third, focus.
Grit, perseverance, focus. Is there a reason?
Yeah. Grit being kind of pairs with perseverance. Okay, like you have to want it. You have to want it more than everybody else. And then perseverance is for times like now, right? You have to push through, but you can't do that without the focus. And when I was 18, I was pretty focused. I think I was the most focused I've ever have been in my life as 18, trying to get into university and everything and just being, you know, away from everything and seeing all my friends, you know, pass along. But I think now those three things are definitely the reason why I've been able to still be here. Even though, as I said, you know, it's definitely a tougher time right now. It's what's keeping me going, right? And everything I think I possess in traits fall under one of the three. And I think that most things that I've gotten and will continue to get will be from traits that fall into another three, those three words.
When you say that it's a difficult time right now, can you explain what that means?
I'm back to the drawing board, right? I'm back to square one. and I'm starting all over again at the age of 22. So that's kind of like, I'm not really at the greatest spot. I'm kind of just like, you know, transitioning, pivoting to something different, and then like trying to build those skills and just focus, right? And persevere through, you know, what I'm going through right now.
Yeah. You had a high expectation for yourself.
Yeah.
And that's what drives you, and that's what pulls you along. My only concern is your inner critic can be very harsh with yourself.
Yeah, I'm working on that though, actually. I've been for example, I went to put out a video on Sunday. It's Tuesday and I haven't put it out because I'm like, okay, well, I'm working on other stuff. I don't have to like burden myself. It's okay. I can just like, I know I'll get it done. Right. And I'd rather get it done naturally, especially when it comes to creative work, than just force myself and put it on Sunday. And it's like, well, what is this video? Right. And it's just like literally like when I'm not doing, I'm watching YouTube. So it's like, okay, I don't mind just like, you know, like being a bit more chill on myself. And I think now that I'm going on this lane, I'm able to do that. Right. In the corporate world, one, I was naturally just not able to give myself breaks. And two, like you have someone over you, like, you can't just say, eh, I don't work. You have to do that, right? So I think I'm really starting to just take a step back and, you know, break out of the mindset and really just allow my body to feel and do what it wants, right? I'm not saying my body wants to do work for a whole week. I'm not going to do work for a whole week. But, like, you understand what I'm saying? I understand that there's some days, like, having, like, chill days is okay, right? As long as it's not a habit. I mean, if you have chill days every day, it's not really a chill day. But, right, as long as, like, you know, like just, it's okay for me to just be sometimes. That's what I realized.
Yeah. Be. And it's regulating your nervous system in a different way, because your nervous system is always on fight or flight. So it go, 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 go. And to regulate it feels like the death and feels like something bad is going to happen because I'm not allowed to relax. I'm not allowed to slow down. And what I'm hearing you're doing the work right now and like, you know, you're in the dark of things and trying to really make sense of things now, not just be an illusion of things and have something carry you and think it's going to go. It's like, wait, something just interrupted this whole thing. And now I'm in the dark and now I'm making sense of this. And it's like, I don't know if I can trust this way because I'm not too sure about this.
Exactly when I say where, like, that's what I was trying to say earlier. And I said, yeah, this is the reason why I'm not like in the best spot ever. Because as you said, it's like, I only knew that one way, right? You go to school for one reason. It's like, wait, crap, darn it. Now what? Right. And it's like, I'm trying to really make these things work, but I'm also like, no one else around me is doing this. Right. Like, why, you know, it's like, if this was a way, why is no one else doing it? Why has it not been done before? Why am I, you know, do this and this and that, but it's like, hey, I'm just trying to figure it out. Like, as I'm trying, that's why I've said, I've learned to just trust and just be okay with just not being, just like, put the work in. If it's to work, it's to work. If it doesn't, well, I have a degree. So we'll go back there if I have to, right? So that's kind of, you said it pretty well.
And as you said, like, I don't have a blueprint. There's nobody that I can look at. Yet your blueprint is yourself and your blueprint is your intuition. You've already said in this interview many times that you don't want to replicate things. You want to create things. And to be a creator, you're not going to see it out there anywhere else because you're listening to a guidance and the guidance isn't coming from the world. The guidance is coming from, you know, whatever higher power you got. Jah, Allah, God, universe, no God, whatever, yet you're listening to that guidance of what was I actually here to do and enjoy life, not just be in the hustle and bustle of things. Yet it feels scary to try things because the world has consequences and it hurts and it stinks. Yeah. And it's like, whoa. And it feels like actual death when we feel like we're failing. Or finances is one of our biggest belief systems that we have to be able to go through to see that, wait, I can listen to a different guidance. You know, when you've come from poverty in the way of, you know, not having so much money and having to figure out, you know, hand to mouth, how are we going to make things work? And you make things work. You also understand that money opens up choices. And when we have choices, we're a much better human being. And then when all those choices get away, we can get a little bit reptilian in our brain and get a little animalistic. And you understand that within yourself, and you understand who you want to show up in the world. And I'm very thankful that, as difficult as this gift of grief has been, I wouldn't wish it on anybody. I'm thankful that you have stepped into the portal. It's a very uncomfortable portal right now. Just always remind yourself that you're okay and you're safe to make mistakes. You're safe to make mistakes, and you have the drive to figure things out. And you also have the network of people that want to support you. So I'm thankful that you're wading out of understanding who's acquaintances and who's really family and friends. And who's really family too, because just because you have blood, that doesn't mean that that's family.
Well, one thing I will say, a funeral, like on the brighter side, it will make or break a family, straight up. Either it goes really good or it goes really bad. And like, because my mom had my aunt, and it wasn't my grandma, they live in England. We have family in the US, and because you're all trying to coordinate coming like down, like this person's schedule and that, it's like, whoa, like you saw some messy side of the family. It's like, whoa, like darn it, man, like you guys gotta relax, right? Because everyone wants, you know, I want her to wear this, I want her to wear that. It's like, man, you can't pick your family, but you can definitely pick your friends. And that's something that definitely was drained into my head, you know, with a situation like this. Gonna realize, okay, well darn it, man, like you guys are way more aggressive than I thought or I remembered you 10 years ago, right? So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And grief, it brings out things in people. And that's where I did a podcast a little while ago about death and asking people to take the responsibility of put out your wishes. Like, do you want to be cremated? Do you want to be buried? What you want to wear? What, so that you don't leave it to the people trying to want the best for you. They already know what your wishes are and that it's there. And if later on they want to change it because they think that no, you didn't know what you're doing, then that's, you get to see people's personalities. Yet if you take the responsibility of, you know, laying it straight, like I understand facing your mortality is difficult. You're not putting the burden of your loved ones are trying to figure out what your wishes are. And they want to get it as right as possible. Yet that can turn into a neurosis. And then everybody starts attacking each other because everybody's trying to take their version of how they knew you and blend it and stuff and not even take a breath and be like, oh, can we like collaborate with this? And
especially Jamaicans, they're very determined people and they can be aggressive without even knowing they're aggressive, right? It's like, we're all trying to figure out like, yo, bro, like, you know, bros to bros, like, what are we going to do? And then the aunt's like, no, that's not going to happen. The grandmother's like, man, like, okay. I was like, okay, all right, fine. All right. You know what? Well, let's just, so, you know, it was very stressful, but I gave everyone the benefit of the doubt. Honestly, it's really hard enough. I'm not going to hold this against you. I'm not going to do that, but I don't know how other family members feel, but it's like, this is the least I can worry about right now, right? Just got to prioritize my stress, and this is really not going to be a high stress, you know, but I definitely agree with that, though. I think I just had to make that comment with the point where, like, you know, you're like, you know, who I have around me, and obviously family doesn't mean family. It's everybody, right? And that's one thing that I've really just realized. So yeah, you know, I'm just gonna be very cautious of whoever around me, because if you want to be around me when I'm living in Toronto, you know, I'm in the club and I'm wearing my suit, that's okay. But if you can't be around me when, you know, I'm going missing for, you know, like a couple of weeks and I'm trying to figure it out, and you can't be around me when I don't have it planned out, I'm going back to the drawing board. And you know, as I said before, I got very accustomed to that Toronto lifestyle, and like, I'm not saying I'm struggling financially now, but like going back to now, you know, living in my aunt's house, just like, you know, going back to that, it's a readjustment, which I don't mind, because to me, I'm so grateful, because where I was like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, wasn't here. I'm still doing better off. I still have something going, right? Yeah. So I gotta give thanks to that. But if you can't be around me now, right, you don't want to be, you know, because I'm not like in Toronto anymore, so okay, that is totally fine. But like, I know what I'm setting myself up for, right? And I know what I'm putting my time towards too. So like, stay over there, bro. You know, you can sit over there, I can sit over here, and you know, all the best for you. But you're not gonna drain my energy. You're not gonna just be leeching my, you know, like that's kind of how I see it as, right? Just they just suck you, you know, suck you in, right? And just like eats you up and mentally, can't do that anymore, man. I'm very conscious of my mentality now. And I think that's another thing I forgot to touch on earlier. Sorry if I'm going on a rant here.
No.
But yeah, like just like one thing I took out of the situation that I probably should have mentioned earlier was just like, now I am super into like, if it bothers me, I'm not going to hold it in. Like when I went to Jamaica after, because I said like, you see a lot of things with family, right? And I realized that everyone was just like, it wasn't even, I didn't take it personal because everyone was going through it and they're like, whoa, what? And like, but when I went down there, I stayed there a month, I came back, and there's not a single thing that was on my mind that I didn't take off my chest. Because I'm like, I'm not going to, if I love you, I'm going to let it be known, right? That's one thing, if I have something that's bothering me about you, I'm going to let it be known to you. I'm going to be straightforward. I'm going to be, you know, let it out. Because if not, one, I don't know where you're going to go. And two, like, I'm going to come home and I'm going to stress about it. And I already have a lot stressing about right now, right? So I've learned how to become a better communicator. Mm-hmm. I've also learned how to just let things out. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that comes with my feelings, right? I'm not going to sit here and feel, because if I choose to feel that, then I can't actually have a firm, you know, firm thoughts. I can't like sit down and lay in my bed and say, okay, how am I going to focus on X, Y, Z? Because of me focusing on, you know, the issue I have with that one person, right? So, yeah, I guess that's another thing I'm taking out of this grieving process, just how to communicate more, how to let it out, how to just let people know how you feel about them, whether that's the love, whether that's, you know, they maybe have, you know, ticked you off for some small thing or whatever, let it out.
Be human. Yeah. You're learning to be human. Where a lot of us put masks, and we tiptoe around things and try to be this corporate, because you got to be this kind of person, corporate, that person. And it's like, wait a minute, why am I swallowing all this stuff? And I got to be a certain way, and I can't offload anything or say what I have to feel or think. Or, and it's like, no, stop swallowing and be able to digest and also detox. Like, it's a whole system. And I'm thankful, like, you're going through the work right now. You are doing the work of taking care of yourself and the things that you would hold on to, which is a type of suppression that you're not going to articulate. Well, somebody pissed me off, or always acting like, oh, well, don't take it personally. Don't take it. It's like, well, eventually you're human. And if you want to stay in a relationship with somebody, you're going to have to articulate the things that you feel hurt, feel disrespected, feel that they've overstepped certain parts. Also acknowledge the great things that they're doing for you and, you know, amplify that. Yet a lot of times people think, well, don't take it, like, you know, don't take it personally means like anything that's negative, don't address it. And it's like, what? Like, I'm a living human being.
I'm a human being, right? Like, if it hurts me, I'm letting you know, hey, man, that hurt me. You burnt me here. And, you know, if you do it again, okay, well, man, it's a pattern now. You gotta relax, right? And I will say, just seeing in the corporate space, I'm definitely a bit scarred. It's definitely like the home of passive aggressiveness. If you say how you feel, HR is coming right after you. So for me coming back into the real world, is like, wow, like I'm gonna actually tell people, like, I'm not just flip you off or anything, but I'm gonna say, hey, like, whoa, man, like, I don't like that. You have a voice. You actually have like, yeah, feelings. You can actually communicate that, and you can also build relationships through just, you know, communicating with people. And it feels nice to be able to learn this skill. It's kind of sad I'm learning at the age of 22, but, you know, the life I was living before, it's something they kind of take away from you. They take away your voice, right? Because as soon as you say something, replace. You want it to be black and white. And if you say anything that's in between, you are gone, or HR is going to come and they're going to attack you, right? Yeah. So I'm glad I was able to learn this. Yep. I'm glad I was able to.
It's emotional intelligence. Corporate doesn't have emotions. You're not allowed to have emotions.
No emotions. Agreed.
And emotions is what creates our colorful vocabulary. That's why creatives in artistry can be so creative, because they're in touch with their emotions. And there's an array of it. It's not just happy, sad, angry. Like there's an array of what you feel as emotions. Cause when you go into the sadness, you go more into depths and you go into, oh, it's more than this. Like there's 10 other things that are attached, but all I can say is sadness. Cause I don't know. I haven't been afforded the space to really dive into what I'm really feeling. And it's not just one thing, it's end in both and many things. But a lot of people don't realize they can be end in both. They just think it's one or the other, where it's like, no, you're end in both. You can actually be happy and sad at the same time. You can have an array of emotions. Like you're explaining your grief where it's like, I'm in deep sadness, yet I'm still choosing to be alive, to still feel some parts of joy, to still feel some parts of drive to create a future for myself, to be engaged with motivation and creativity, still want to socially connect with those that I feel I can be seen with. Because like what you were explaining is everybody wants to ride the limo with everybody, yet are you willing to sit at the bus stop with me? Everybody wants to come to the beach when it's like all sunny, but are you willing to come to the beach when it's raining? Are you willing to sit there with me and vibe and like, you know, be there when it's not all glorified and great and everything else? Can you be in those moments? Yet you sort out who is real in your life in the sense of what real means is that they see you as an individual, not just for their own personal needs. They actually want to have a relationship with you and see you, Romario, as a human being. And we don't get many people like that in our lives. So when you do find them, you hold on to them dearly. Because we understand, like, you know, life throws us all kinds of different things. Yet when we wake up to, oh, seeing, it's like, oh, you are only around when it's high times. And I have to see the interaction and see how I'm playing part in this dance. Because we wouldn't be able to be dancing if I wasn't playing part. And that's challenging to wake up to see what you are actually doing. Because it's very easy to blame other people and be like, you're doing this. Yet we have to see, well, what did we tolerate and allow in our lives?
I'm very glad you said that. And that's why it's like you're kind of taking my, I don't know how to bring this up. You're able to kind of navigate it and like bring it out of me, which is very helpful. Like I was going to say, yeah, that's one thing I've learned, right? Starting my record label now, it's okay. I'm like, hey, I'm not being harsh. I'm just setting the boundaries. I'm just letting you know the tone, right? I'm letting you know what I will accept, what I won't accept. And I've also been able to really just say, hey, listen, like, this is how I am, and this is what I expect of you. And, you know, as a friend, I wasn't expecting to treat me. I was expecting to be my right-hand man, I'm like, it doesn't really get much worse than this, right? When it comes to, you know, your family life, this is like the worst thing I think a 22-year-old can hear is like, yep, this happened. It's like, where were you when I kind of needed you? But when I was saying, yo, man, you know, like, what are you doing this Friday? You know, I'm going to be downtown going like this. You were there for me, right? You made sure you're right by my side. It's just like, I expect more. And I learned how to communicate my boundaries. I learned how to communicate my expectations. And if you don't, you can't meet that. Or if I, you know, I sniff out that, you know, the words don't match the action, that's okay. That's fine. I'm sure you'll find somebody that will, you know, accept you for that and is willing to, you know, accept that treatment, but it just won't be me. Right. And I've just learned how, as I said, to communicate that, just, you know, just let it be known. And I'm glad that I was able to take these lessons out of something so tragic and learn how to just be human. I think that's the best way to put it. Learn how to just treat people like people and value them for as they are, not as an asset, not as, you know, future. Just talk to people as people. And I think that's definitely even reflected in my YouTube. Right. When I was in Jamaica, I went on a few different resorts. I spent a lot of time kind of just by myself in the hills and just going on hikes with the tour guide. After I had a conversation with them, I, you know, took their advice. Before, for everyone who doesn't know the podcast, when I had first met Nat, basically what had happened was I didn't embrace. I was very shy to say as a content creator. I was like, yeah, I'm a content creator. I just whispered it. Now it's like, I've accepted that it's okay for me. This is what I want to do. This is me. This is who I am. Right. So now when I was in Jamaica and I was talking to you, I'm like, yeah, I actually create YouTube videos. Like, this is why I'm doing this. Like, why do you have a camera? This is what I'm doing. And through that, just being honest and just being genuine, people have actually started to follow me. It's just like, hey, sure, watch your YouTube. And I'm like, oh, darn it. Like, can I actually just like tell people and just like communicate with people and like talk about who you are, right? And it feels really good. And as I said, it's something great that's come out of something so tragic. I don't think the situation is tragic, right? I think it's really just a blessing. I think God already had this all, you know, laid out, and it's really out of my control, right? It's just how I, you know, navigate and how I treat the situation can make it either tragic or, you know, a success story, right? And I think that's where, as I said before, like if I was to sit down and drink every single day because of it, then of course it'd be a tragic situation, right? But this is something that's going to be, like, for me, at least uplifting. I'm not closer to my brothers and my sisters. I'm closer to my people and my aunt in England, right? Like, this is a blessing in disguise. I'm just thankful for the situation for both ways. I've been able to, as you said, be happy and sad, and I've been able to learn so much from it. I hope that like I can continue to be like this, but I'm not gonna lie, as I said before, there is some really shitty days. You're just like, damn, man, like, why did this happen? And I've just learned to just accept them and not make 10 consecutive shitty days, right? Because after the third shitty day, it's like, man, you're choosing to have shitty days, right? So that's kind of just, right, man, I'm sorry I had to cut you off there. I just had to just...
No. Yes. Thank you. No, this is what the podcast is for. It's you're the one that's speaking. I'm just helping to just bring up what you need.
Yeah. You just like, I don't know how, you just kind of like help me just feel. Cause like, I want to say, I just don't know how to like, it's in my head, but I just didn't know how to navigate it and how to like articulate it in a sense where it's like, oh, whoa, that's exactly what I was trying to say earlier. That's exactly what I meant. It's like, it's very helpful.
To be authentic with ourselves is a journey, because we have been told that certain parts that we wanted to feel or express weren't allowed. Yep. And so when they want to come up, it's like, no, you're not safe to say this stuff or think this way or share this with people, because they're going to either ridicule, reject, or shut you off. And it's like, oh, but wait a minute. Do I trust myself? Am I going to disconnect from myself? And that's the work of not disconnecting from self whenever we feel these big severs of connection. Because when we feel rejected, when we feel ridiculed, when we feel belittled or disrespected, it does a big charge and it doesn't feel good inside of ourselves. And so it's the work to keep connected with self, keep staying in our body when we want to jump out of it because it just feels really uncomfortable. And so I'm thankful that we are having this dialogue, and some of this is, you know, being validated for yourself of it makes sense and to really honor yourself and to see that this is warrior work you're going through right now. So as much as you might use the language, it's not the greatest spot, I'm not the greatest, and this is harsh. And it's like, actually, you're in a beautiful place. And it's a space where you feel like you're falling. What you have to realize is there's no ground you're going to land on. It feels like you might hit the ground, yet there's no ground you'll fall. Like, you're just free falling. And when you can allow yourself to be in that space, it gets overwhelming at times and we have to jump out of it. Yet when you can, it's like, wait a minute. I can just keep going. It's okay. You're okay. And that's trusting within. Yep. As much as we say we trust ourselves, there's a lot of things we can see that, no, you don't trust yourself. You're still kind of anchored on the outside world.
And that's what kind of drove my family crazy, right? They're like, you actually believe in yourself. I was like, imagine this. And they thought, oh, it's a situation that's making you not want to do this. It's like, nah, man, like, I ain't going to doubt myself, man. If I was able to get myself in the job I worked at, some context, like was the most, so it's the most prestigious job someone my age can get. You're making well over six figures, you know, 22, living downtown. And they're like, we're leaving all that. I'm like, yep. Like, I trust myself. And that's the whole point of you going to university, if you go to school, at least to me, the way I see it is for me to have leverage. If I F up in this world, I have some sort of income so my family can eat and, you know, have food on the table. Right. So if I have a degree, why would I not pursue and actually become what I want to be? Especially since I have a degree in economics and finance and I have this background, why would I not just at least try? Right. I've tried the corporate world. You guys love that when I try the corporate world. So why can't you love that I'm trying to be myself, travel, and just have fun with it, right? And I told them, like, a lot of the skills I've learned in the corporate world are very applicable to YouTube. YouTube is not just, oh, just, I'm sure you know this yourself. It's little things. The devil is tend to be in the details quite more than often, right? And I'm trying to explain that to them. I'm like, listen, I've learned this skill, this skill, this skill. And once I kind of like explain it to them, because, you know, being Caribbean parents, Caribbean family, my dad, I should say, being a Caribbean dad, and then my family, they just know money, money, money. He's working in a bank. He can't leave that. But once I was explaining to them, like, there's more than enough food I can make off of this, but here's how it works. Here's little things you don't know behind the scenes. I don't just post a video and upload it. And they're like, oh, well, you know, once you broke it down to them, like, okay, well, that makes a lot of sense. Maybe we should, you know, give you the support. And now they're sharing my videos or, you know, liking it. And it's like, I appreciate that, because it's like, it comes down to communication. If I wasn't able to communicate and just be honest and just let them know how it was, they just have this bad persona of content creator. You're going to be making TikToks. I know that. I'm not going to be doing dancing TikToks. Like, right. So, yeah, I all that to say, I really just think, you know, it just comes down to, you know, just communicating and just expressing myself.
I'm thankful that you are strengthening the relationship with yourself to trust yourself. You know, right now, because you just experienced the grief, that uncertainty is always around, yet we fall asleep to it.
I think it comes down to what you said earlier, actually, emotional intelligence, right? Just being aware of the unaware, right? Being aware of, okay, this is, you know, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
You don't even know what's going to happen in an hour from now.
My plan for and I'm going to be at breakfast, but you don't know if that's going to happen. You don't know if you're going to call, you don't know anything can happen. Right. And I think that's more prevalent for me, at least, more than ever. I think staying off of social media for some time, like, I don't tend to, I will see the messages, but sometimes emotionally, I'm not there. Right. And for me, at least, I've been able to really just keep in tune, and I'm able to spend time communicating in real life with people, and being able to kind of just not be dictated on how I'm supposed to feel and what you're supposed to do. And that's the reason why I refrained from posting online when my mom had passed. And so I knew, okay, I'm ready to deal with it, because I already know the overwhelming, it was very overwhelming in all those messages. I got probably over like 1500 messages from my social media, right? And it's like, damn, man, this is really stressful. And that it's like, I was reading some of the messages, like, oh, I'm supposed to feel this way? I'm like, at times I'm like, yeah, you know, like, it's like, I don't really feel this way. And it's like, you know what I mean? So I've been kind of just staying off of it. And that's why, as I said, I waited till everything had already processed before I even, because that would have even messed my head a lot more, right? I wouldn't have been able to take out this, these blessings out of the situation if I hadn't, you know, stepped away from it, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the first thing I said to you earlier today offline, perhaps it was on the podcast, or I was just like, yeah, the reason why I have to work hard, you know, no one cares to work harder, is because people feel obligated to say certain things. And like, that was a prime example of what I was saying earlier before, right? Where people just, oh my goodness, and it's like, you get a whole paragraph. And it's like, first of all, dude, I haven't talked to you since grade six, right? And second of all, like, I don't want to dictate that way of my feelings. I want to be in full control of, you know, how I react to this and how I take it.
If at any time I impose, just keep me check, okay?
I don't think you've ever imposed. I think I actually reached out to you one time. I was like, hey, I actually really appreciate you. Like, I you know, like, you showed me love. And because, like, you realize a lot, right? It's like, whoa, like, I met her on the beach. She gave me great awareness. She gave me self-confidence. I was like, oh, yeah, I know I am a YouTube creator. I do that, right? And you've actually kept in touch. You followed up. It wasn't just like a conversation and just like, oh yeah, you know, I remember that one. No, it was like, you've actually been in touch and you've showed me your grief and you've been able to invite me on your podcast. And to me, that is something and someone you want around you and someone who's gonna, you know, it goes both ways, right?
You're in the dark and you're feeling your way through while creating your boundaries now, because before you didn't know how to create the boundaries or that you were allowed to have boundaries. And now you're creating it, and not just intellectually, it's like actually a lived experience of how I feel is important. Where can the listeners find you?
Sure. So my Instagram is going to be Romario Brown. So R-O-M-A-R-I-O, Brown with two N's at the end. On YouTube, I'm self-entitled. So it's going to be Romario Brown on YouTube. Twitter, Romario Brown. I believe it has two N's. TikTok, Romario Brown. And then if you would like to see my work, my visuals, it's called boston.entertainment on YouTube, as well as boston.entertainment on Instagram. That's where you can find my creative stuff. YouTube is where I have all my my vlogs, my traveling, and then my Instagram is just my life, and that's where I'm at online.
Do you have anything to leave with the listeners?
Yeah, I'd really say those three words, right? Whether you already applied to your life, I think you being able to apply some grit, and being able to persevere through the times that grit can't handle it, and being able to focus when you need to actually, get things done, and just being self-centered, and being self-aware, not self-centered, self-aware, is very key. And, times will come, things get tough, but don't use that as an excuse to not, achieve what you want in life. I think attitude is key, right? And as I've said a few times for this podcast, that you can choose, to have 10 bad days. You may not choose to wake up in, feeling bad one day. That's okay. It's fine for you to have a couple here and there, but just don't make that a habit, and don't let that be the reason why, 10, 15 years, you're not, telling a story of how you want things to play out. Right. And just be honest and surround yourself with people who you can be honest with, who you can communicate with, and those that would actually really, want to see you win. And that's one thing I've really realized, even not even win, just want to see you happy. Right. And I think that's just the best advice. And just don't, certain things will come in life. It's out of your control. Right. So don't blame yourself for it, and keep a good attitude.
I want to thank you for being a guest on the podcast. It has been a pleasure. And thank you for sharing that sacred, vulnerable space, because, it's still fresh with the grief and everything, and, your disruption of your life, that you are starting over in a new chapter, yet you're in charge of the pen now. So I look forward to seeing how the story develops. And I am here cheering you on, and here to support you in any kind of way, Romario.
Thank you, Nan. I'm sure we'll be in touch, and thank you for having me. Allow me to share my thoughts and my experiences, and I'm sure we'll be in touch.
Remember to be kind to yourself.
I'll do.
If you made it all the way here, I appreciate you and your time. Thank you. Like and subscribe to the podcast. And if you found the conversation valuable, share it out, please. Help grow the community of Lift Oneself. And until next time, remember, be kind and playful with yourself.